Genesis chapter 13. I feel very, very strongly in the Lord this afternoon what I am going to preach today. I got it yesterday morning. God laid it on my heart, and I feel strongly impressed to go this direction. I know that the teams would have been out, and Brother William and Sister Brenda Steins, I know all of these in the discipleship class, but got with Brother Gooden, and we're going to stay in here a little bit. Amen, because I want to get as much church and get as much preaching and get as much word as we can, because fellowship is good, and singing is good, and shouting is necessary, and praise, it worship, it ushers it in, and it is, but it's the word that saves you. It is the word that changes you. It is the word that will get down on the inside. A fast song will get down in your feet and make you want to, man, get you moving. But the word will move you. One will get you moving, but the other one will move you. It will stir you. It will change you. It will, amen. The preaching of the word, the Bible says, sharper than any two-edged sword. It has a way of dividing between thought and intention. It has a way of just getting right in there. Right, and it cannot touch. It is a master surgeon with skilled hands. He reaches in there and touches areas of your life, areas of your heart, amen, that even you did not even know was there. But when God did a spiritual exam, He sees something. And through the preaching of the word, God touches you and it pricks something in your heart. And you know that then God is doing something in your spirit, in your heart. And I feel very strongly about this message today. God laid it on my heart. Amen. I want you to know this is all I have. Right for the very first time. Thank you. My entire whole message, you should have seen me. I put an SH on everything. So many, many times I was going, No, I didn't repeat back, and I'm speaking to the iPad, and then I would have to say it again, and my wife would get to laughing at me. Finally, it came this morning, and we finally got down, but we are going to try to do this in Jesus' name. I had to come out and get Brother Lowry to show me how to paste, but I was trying to get one to come to mix them, and so we're just going to follow the Holy Ghost for a little bit. Amen. I appreciate the way God moved Wednesday night, the way God talked to us. Amen. It was not traditional, so I don't plan on being traditional. I don't plan on getting locked into routine and ritual. And I haven't been doing it long enough to be jaded and become critical, and not been in this position long enough to perfect it. And I'm not interested in being perfect. We strive for perfection. I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling. We're constantly going forward. But as long as we're making progress in the right direction, I will be happy. Amen. Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 8. Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 8. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. I pray thee between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. I preached here some time ago from that very scripture and from that thought, and I titled it, We Be Brethren. And I focused on unity, and I focused on getting along together. And I may overlap a little bit. I have no idea where that message is at, so I was not able to go back and pull from that. But I want to just start here. My message is coming from down lower, but it was worth and bear repeating. Let there be no strife, he said. I pray thee, Abraham, talking. He said, hey, we got to do something. We got to do something. This thing's going to work, and there can't be strife. There can't be bickering and fighting between your herdmen and my herdmen. Can't be bickering and fighting here among the church, among the people and among the family of God. There can't be bickering and fighting and division. So Abraham said, you know what? I'll do the bigger thing. I'll do what is right. And he said to him, let there be no strife. I pray thee
we be brethren. We're brothers. This can't belong here. Verse 9 says, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. In other words, he's saying, I'll do whatever it takes. If you want there, I'll go here. If you want here, I'll go there. Whatever it takes, I'll do whatever I have to do to make it work. I'll do whatever I have to do. I just don't want to fight anymore. I just want this thing to, like Rodney King, can't we all get along? So verse 10 says, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. I would have told you about a lot right there. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, must have been a beautiful place. Like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord, exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. I want you to notice that there. The Lord spoke to him. The Lord talked to him only after he had separated himself from Lot. The Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Not just to Abraham, but to his seed. Not just to him, but to us, to you and I. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Then Abraham removed his tent. Everybody say, walk through. And then in verse 18, everybody say, Abram removed his tent. Okay, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Jump down to Hebrews 11 and chapter 1, if you would, please. Turn very quickly over to Hebrews. Hold your finger there on Genesis chapter 13. Keep your finger on Genesis chapter 13. And flip with me, if you would, over to Hebrews 11 and 1. Known as the faith chapter. Turn with me to Hebrews 11 and 1. When you have it, say amen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Everybody read it with me. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's read it together again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. If the Lord will help me for the next few minutes, I want to preach from this title and this thought. How far can you see from where you are sitting? How far can you see from where you are sitting? God of heaven, right now we ask you to anoint the word. I feel your presence so strongly in this place. I feel your anointing, oh God. I know that you're going to speak to us. Speak to every situation. Speak to every condition. Speak to every family. Speak to every heart in the name of Jesus. Every man of God and child of God. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, talk to us tonight. Speak to us. Give us a word. Give us direction through the preaching of the word. Would you anoint the lips of clay? Take a live coal off the altar and touch the lips of clay. Anoint the message. Have your way. Let this word be a living word. Let it be alive. Let it give you glory. Let it further the kingdom of God to the betterment and the furtherment of the kingdom of God. Would you bless your people? Would you anoint it? In Jesus' precious name we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on. He's worthy. Come on. He's worthy. Oh, He's worthy. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I feel such an urgency and a mandate. Amen. And I have the last. I do not know when and where it turned or when and where it changed, but I feel such an anointing. It's kind of like when you know that you know that you know, and it's without a doubt that you know. You know where you are, you know who you are, you know what you're doing, and you know where you're going. Amen. So I feel such an anointing. I feel such an urgency that I preach it this morning or this afternoon. Wednesday night, I felt it the same way. I Wednesday night, it was just like something that just, it had to be birthed. It was something just pushing it from outside. It is something, it is a burden. However you may describe it, I really do not know. All I know is that the anointing and revival is here. It is ours for the taking. There is something that is tangible that is here. It is something that we can see. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The Bible, the Holy Ghost is guiding our steps. Can I just say it that way? The Lord is guiding our steps in the path of revival. I'm telling you, if we will get together and walk together. Amen. There is a revival that can be ours. There is an anointing. There is, it's kind of like when you see those volcanoes and they're smoking. And you know that at any moment, this thing's fixing to explode. This thing's fixing to blow up. That's exactly how I feel. Every time I get in this pulpit, every time I fall on my face, I prayed yesterday, I got up from the table, walked through in the living room, and I know more than got in there and just hot tears begin to flow down. The anointing was there. Even in prayer, all I know that is at any moment, this thing could explode. And brethren, while it's smoking, while there's heat there, while there's something there down on the inside, molten lava, waiting to get out. That's the way I feel. It's the Holy Ghost. Jeremiah said, it's a fire shut up in my bones. He said, it's a fire shut up in my bones. It's something that I've got to tell you about. Amen. So first, let me convince you that you have to believe that you are blessed of the Lord. You have to believe that God is on your side. Before Abraham made a move, he already knew that God was on his side. Because God had spoke to him. He didn't know where he was going, but the Lord told him to go. That's kind of the way I feel. I don't know where this thing could end up, but I do know we will have revival. I don't know how big. Do you know there are people, God help us, God forbid, there are people that do not want revival. They're not praying for revival. They don't even support revival. They don't want revival because, well, it's called work. Yeah, there's work involved and cost involved. You may be seated. But another thing I feel, and don't dare tell me you can't pastor 1,000 people. I don't know. I ain't tried yet, but I will. But I will pastor 1,000. I will pastor more than that. I can't believe you, pastor. Why, you must be insane. No, you must be crazy to think God can't do it. But why in the world should I shoot for 100 when I can have 1,000? I believe we're just that close. I just got to convince you of it. I believe it with everything in me. I tell everybody I talk to. I just got to get you to tell everybody you talk to. The problem with some people is this. They don't want 1,000 people because they may not be near as important with 1,000 people as they are with 100. Their position may change. Their place may change when there's 1,000. Honey, I don't care. When there's 1,000 people, everybody's important. When there's 100, well, if I depend upon one family or one person, I could care less about position, name, or fame, or fortune, honey. When there's 1,000, everybody's important. And that's just the way I feel. If God can give us 100, He can give us 1,000. There is no limit to God. We are the ones that limit God. Amen. The preaching does not stop us. The preaching does not. But it is our attitude, our mindset, our mentality that stops us. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Hey. And so I have to convince you this morning or this afternoon, whatever the time is, that you have God on your side. Look at somebody and tell them, I am blessed of the Lord. Look at somebody else and tell them the blessings of God are on your life. Now look at them and tell them, I'm fixing to get a raise on my job. I thought I'd throw that last part in there. I just thought I'd see if you was with me. Amen. The blessings of God are on your life. The blessings of God are on my life. God is on my side. And honey, why can't you get a raise on your job? You just got to be convinced that God is there for you. And God wants to bless you. God wants you to be successful. God intends for you to be successful. Amen. You just have to believe it. Amen. You may be seated. You just have to believe it. There is a problem if all you can see is negative. From where you are now, if the view isn't good, then move. If where you're sitting isn't good and you can't see very well, then get to some place you can. That requires a move of God now. That requires you moving in the Spirit. That requires you moving in the Holy Ghost. That requires you following the will of God. But it does require movement. It requires action on your part. Hey! Amen. The problem you are in now, if that's all you can see, you can't see very far. The situation that you're in right now, if that's all you can see, you can't see very far. If I was in a hitch of dogs here, I would have to eventually move up to the front because I wouldn't be happy just looking at a dog's butt. I might be a wheel dog or a sled dog, whatever you want to call me, but I'm getting up front soon because I need a change of view here. I don't see how in God's name you stay on the back pew every service. I couldn't stand to look at the back of everybody's head. I'd want them looking at the back of my head. I don't care if I got a receding hairline or grace. I wear my hair wet sometimes so you can't see all the gray. I wash that gray right out of your hair. I don't wash no gray out, but honey, I comb it wet. But I'm going to sit up to the front. I never could stay in the back. I'm either playing the bass or singing or exhorting or preaching, but I wasn't made to sit on the back. I wasn't made to be a back pew Christian. I'm just telling you like it is. I wasn't made to stay on the outskirts, honey. When God built me, designed me, built me big to last, baby. Yes, sir, I just had to throw that part in there too. Amen. God just took a little extra time. That's all. He quit on you early. That's why there ain't as much of you to go around. There's more of me. Somebody asked him a question. He stayed right there a while. You may be seated. He didn't move on to the next person, so I just kept getting a lot of goodie. That was all. That was all. I just thought I'd explain that real quick. I wish to God you could make my iPad blow up. It just won't get any bigger right there. I can't. My eyes just about need binoculars or something. I'm going to get me profiles in there. Amen. Well, if you could figure that out, I would be happy. I finally got it on my iPad, and I can't see but like this right here. It's a gospel truth. It is a gospel truth. Amen. Let's see. All right, here we go. The problem is, here's the deal. How far can you see where you're sitting? How far can you see where you're sitting? Ever been to a concert? Ever been to a concert? It costs, and if you don't pay, you sit in the what? Nosebleed section, baby. You go all the way back up in the nosebleed section, and you try and say, God, tell me what's happening up there. I don't need you to tell me what's happening. I'm going to get as close to the front as I can possibly. Guess what? There's seats available right up front. Guess what? There's room at the altar. Guess what? There's room around the cross. Guess what? There's room in revival. I promise you. Amen. So you have a problem if all you can see is the negative and all you can see is where you are now. I did not take a snapshot and every time I get in a situation, put it out and look at it. God did not design you to stay in the valley. He said, yea, though I walk through the valley. Yea, though I walk through the valley. God didn't intend for you to stay down there. Every time you face something, pull out a picture and say, yeah, you're up here. Ah, honey, because this thing's a moving picture. How about that? This thing's a moving picture. Hey, this thing's always moving because it was designed to go through the mountain, up the valley. Guess what? There's another valley up the mountain, up down the valley. And yes, sir, you just keep trodding on. You just keep plodding on. The thing is, God did not design you to stay there. If that's all you see, amen, then you need to move where you're sitting. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Amen. You need to be able to see the blessings. I'm going somewhere. You need to be able to see the blessings before they ever get here. You need to be able to see the miracle before it ever takes place. You need to be able to see. Oh. You need to be able to see it. Faith is seeing it. Faith is believing it. Things that are not as though they were. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is simply believing it whether you see it or not. Walking on into it, whether you see it or not. Not staying in it, but walking through it. Why? I'm going, the Bible says, from faith to faith. From blessing to blessing. Victory to victory. Amen. I was not designed to stay here. And so if the view hasn't changed, you may be stuck in the valley. Amen. If you can't see very far from where you're sitting, amen, then you need to get up from where you are. Move till you have a better view. Amen. So, here we go. Disney. I got your attention now, though. You need to be able to see revival before it ever gets here. That's all I'm preaching to you. If you could just see what I see. Oh, if you could just see what I see. You could just see the move of God that I see. Amen. If you could just see the crowd that I preach to when I'm in my pickup truck. Hey, they shall say the word of the Lord. Get to church and say, y'all stand, let's praise Him. But honey, I was preaching to a 1,000 plus when I was in the shower. Man, I'll tell you what, and that's the way it is. Boy, you can sing so good you get to church and you don't hardly even open up your mouth. Amen. You need to have faith. You need to see the revival before it ever takes place. What I like about our young people and you is you're getting what's called a personal revival. Because before you can ever have revival in our city, you got to have revival in yourself. Before you get revival in, you got to have a personal revival. Then from a personal revival, you go into a family revival. From family revival, it goes to a church-wide revival. And then you can have a city-wide revival. But unless you don't have revival on the pew you're in, baby, we will never have revival in Lebanon. Because you're stuck in the valley. Amen. The view from where you're sitting has never changed and it's not very good. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Amen. Everybody say personal revival. Family revival. Church-wide revival. City-wide revival. Amen. That is when you are on the job and they come in with a mother and a 12-year-old daughter and they bring them in and they walk in and automatically there is something in you. It's called a burden. And God stirs you and moves you. And before that afternoon is over, they call you in there after another nurse has to go out. You have to do, which is not normal practice. And then you go out, end up run outside and the woman says, I know you were coming for me. I knew you were coming. You had something for me. And Ashley handed him a card, and the woman broke down and began to cry. And she began to weep, and she said, I'm coming to church. Will you come to church? Yes, I've come to church. That is when you start having revival, when God starts moving through you young people on the job. Church-wide revival is when they call their mom and they say, what do I do? They ask for a Bible study. And they say, well, Alexis, find a way on your phone and teach a Bible study. And so one's over here talking to them about the Lord and the things of God and revival and inviting them to church. The other's over here teaching a Bible study at Starbucks. That's church-wide revival. That's what I'm trying to tell you about. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. You got to see it. The man of God can see it, but can you see it? The man of God can feel it, but can you feel it? How far can you see from where you are sitting? If it doesn't look like revival, then move. If it doesn't look like Holy Ghost outpouring, then move. If you don't see miracles where you're sitting, then move. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place right now. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Disney asked Steve Jobs advice on how to revitalize, how to reinvent, how to create their image again. He gave him a very simple response. He said, dream bigger. Dream bigger? This is Disney you're talking about. This is Disney. He said, yeah, Disney, dream bigger. Then he goes on to tell them, passion fuels the rocket. But vision, a big dream, points the rocket to its ultimate destination. He said, you cannot succeed without a clear vision of how to move forward. He said, Xerox could have dominated the computer industry, but its vision was limited to making copies. Just making copiers. So he used that. He used that. What could have dominated the computer industry? And now it's Apple. But Steve Jobs had a vision. Two people can see the same thing, but perceive it differently based on their vision. Compelling vision that inspires everyone's best efforts meets four criteria. Number one, big dreams are bold. He simply said a computer in the hand of every everyday man. A computer in the hand of every everyday man was a bold statement coming from a garage. But he had a vision. He had a destination in mind. He planned on pastoring 1,000+ too. He planned on dominating the industry because he wasn't a follower, he was a leader. Every one of you young people can be leaders. Every one of you don't have to be followers. Don't you dare be a follower. I'm not pastoring followers. I'm pastoring leaders. I'm not pastoring average saints. I'm not pastoring ordinary. I'm pastoring extraordinary. Amen. I intend to have preachers and evangelists and missionaries and pastors' wives and pastors. Oh, you may not believe it, but I believe it. You may not be reaching for it, but that's fine. Leave your babies to me. I'll get them there. Because it's burning inside of me. There is something that they are better than just an average saint sitting on a pew. They were made to do something great for God. They were made. Go ahead. I've learned too much in the last little bit. God is able to do anything, honey. If He can do it for me, He can do it for you. If He can do it for my family, He can do it for your family. If miracles happen here, miracles can happen in your life. I wish that God could preach. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. How far can you see from where you're sitting? How far can you believe? If you can't see revival where you're sitting, baby, get up and move. If you don't see a miracle where you're sitting, if you don't see Him praying through in the Holy Ghost, get up and move. If you don't see God using you, get up and walk to the front because you're too far in the back. Oh! Hallelujah. Great God Almighty. Hallelujah. Amen. Helen Keller said this, the most pathetic person in the world is someone who has sight but no vision. The only thing worse than being blind is having sight and no vision. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Amen. That's the problem with iPads. When you move them, they flip. I got to get used to that. Is there a way to lock it? There is. Well, we'll find it after church. I was so proud of myself. You'd have thought I won the lottery. I figured I had to put a message on an iPad. I was big stuff right there, boy. I'm telling you, big time right there. All right, here we go. Now, let's make me skip. Amen. Now, I'm back to number two. Hey, Lord, I jumped way down. We almost dismissed right there. Y'all should have wished I'd have kept going. We were dismissing in Jesus' name, get Cracker Barrel in 10 minutes. All right, Xerox could have dominated. Two people, different vision. No, perceive it differently based on their vision, compelling visions. Number one, big dreams are bold. Oh, I didn't want to miss this next one. A computer in the hand of every day person. Number two, big dreams are specific. Number one, big dreams are bold. Everybody say revival. 1,000 soul revival. Big dreams are bold. Big dreams are bold. Big dreams are bold. Here we go. Number two, big dreams are specific. 1,000 soul revival. How about that? Specific. Put a label on it. Put a name on it. You ready for this? John F. Kennedy inspired a nation by proposing a big idea and attaching a deadline to it. He simply said, put a man on the moon and return him safely by the end of the decade. History tells me, well, July the 21st, 2 days before I was born, 1969, they came across the radio waves, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. He put a deadline on it. Oh, don't you dare me to put a date on this. Number one, be bold, revival. Number two, be specific. I believe I can pastor 1,000 people plus. I believe I can do it in the next 5 years. I believe I can do it in the next 5 years. Are there any brethren that will agree with me? Any brethren that will hook up with me? I think we could have time to spare. If we aim high enough, we'll hit somewhere way up among the stars. But I'm shooting for a thousand plus. Why settle for less? That's the problem with mankind. We're satisfied with just average. Satisfied with way down here. Not anymore, friend. Not anymore. I am sick and tired of looking at empty pews. I pray God put too many butts for too many seats. Amen. We'll build before long. I pray God we have to build somewhere on South Hartman, North Hartman, somewhere out there. Be specific. How about that? Be specific. Be specific. Sure, it'd be nice out there by the interstate, wouldn't it? Be specific. Amen. Here we go. Number three, John F. Kennedy, he put a deadline on it, and he was specific, and they done it. It no longer was, I don't think it can be done. It was, how soon can we get it done? He changed everything by being specific and putting a date on it, putting a deadline on it. That's what I want to do, honey. I want a revival like we have never seen before. If they can do it in Arkansas, if they can do it in Washington, if they can do it in Texas, if they can do it in the East Coast, up in the Carolinas, bless God, Tennessee's due for one. Tennessee's due for one. Amen, amen, amen. And so, number three, big dreams are concise. They are memorable. Very simply, they're easy to remember. Ready for this? One word, revival. Big dreams, revival. That's an easy revival. Revival. Very simple to remember. Revival. Number four. Big dreams are consistent. I'm going to make it easy. Not stop until we have revival. Big dreams are consistent. We're not stopping until we have revival. We're not stopping until we have to get a bigger baptismal tank. Till I have to start getting help. Till we have to start setting aside a special night for baptismals. Why not? The next church we build in the near future, we'll have one of them tanks that you walk down beside it, and I put on waders. I don't have to get in it. I can still be in my suit. I reach over, and I... There's a lot of pastors been telling me about it, by the way. I'm going to get that thing. I'm going to do it where you just stand outside it. I ought to get one of y'all to do it. Get up in there. Y'all get wet. Why in the world should I get wet? Amen. Big dreams are consistent. We are not stopping till we have revival. My question is this. Maybe you're, listen to me, don't miss me here. Maybe you're just not dreaming big enough. Maybe you're just not dreaming big enough. Look at somebody and tell them, dream bigger. Look at somebody else and tell them, dream bigger. Amen. Look at God and tell Him, I'm going to dream bigger. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right here. Hallelujah. God, help us. Help us today in the name of Jesus. Amen. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Winston Churchill said this, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. This was at his very first speech as Prime Minister. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and of suffering. You ask, what is our policy? It is to wage war by sea, by land, and by air with all our might and with all the strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word. It is victory. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. You ask, what is my aim? I'll tell you what my aim is. Very simply this, revival. Revival at any cost. Revival, no matter how long it takes. No matter how hard we have to pray. No matter how long we have to fast. We will have revival. Nothing less. Nothing less. Nothing less. We will have victory. Amen, amen, amen. Tony Dungy. Many of you know Tony Dungy, the Indianapolis coach, Super Bowl winning coach. Tony Dungy said, the first step towards creating an improved future is developing the ability to envision it. Vision will ignite the fire of passion that fuels our commitment to do whatever it takes to achieve excellence. Oh, God, I wish you could remember every one of these. Vision will ignite the fire of passion that fuels our commitment to do whatever it takes to achieve excellence. Only vision allows us to transform dreams and knows no limits. Our vision is what we become in life. If you cannot see revival from where you are sitting, get up and move till you see a clear vision of revival. If you cannot see a move of God and miracles and signs and wonders from where you are sitting, get up and move until you have a clear vision of signs and wonders and revival. Hallelujah. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Ask yourself the question. Ask yourself, how far can I see from where I am sitting? Amen. Hallelujah. Vision without action is a dream. Action without vision is simply passing the time. Action with vision is making a positive difference. Put action to that vision. Put action to that vision. What are you going to do this week, Pastor? I'm going to invite somebody else to church. What are you going to do, young person? I'm going to teach another Bible study. What are you going to do, young person? I'm going to tell somebody else in the parking lot about God and the things of God. What are you going to do, brother? I'm going to call Pastor up and say, Pastor, I've just taught a Bible study. Can we get the baptism already? They want to be baptized tonight. They don't want to wait till church time. You know what my answer will be? One clear, simple yes. 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 You know why? I have a vision of revival. I have a vision of revival, and nothing is in the way. If you cannot see revival from where you are sitting, get up and move until you have a clearer vision. Amen, amen. It is said that an eagle's eye is 6 times sharper than man's. It can see a quarter at over 200 yards. It can see a rabbit at over a mile away. Eagle's eyes, much larger than man's, they sit back on the side. So it constantly has to keep moving. An eagle has to constantly keep turning his head because he's looking for something. He's looking for danger. He's looking for food. He's looking for romance. He's looking for all kinds of things. But the eagle is not stagnant and sitting in one place. Because if he cannot see what he's looking for, the eagle gets up and moves. And he soars to the highest heights. It says that the deep deeper and darker and stronger the storms, the higher the eagle soars. The more the other birds chase him, the higher he flies till he gets above it, till he has a clear vision. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you cannot see the vision that your pastor has, then get up and move until mine and your vision is the same. If you cannot see what I'm seeing, get up and move until there's nothing in the way. That requires work on your part. That requires action on your part. That requires prayer on your part. That requires falling on your face before God for your part. That requires pushing back from the table, teaching Bible studies, inviting people to church on your part. But if you ain't got the same view that your pastor has, then you can't see very far from where you're sitting. And you need to get up and move. Hey, God's talking to us. God's talking to us this afternoon. Amen. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Vision looks inward and becomes duty. Vision looks outward and becomes aspiration. Vision looks upward and becomes faith. Vision looks upward and becomes faith. How far can you see from where you're sitting? How far can you see from where you are sitting? I asked the question this afternoon. Then what is blocking your vision? What is it that's blocking your vision? Verse 8 says this, let there be no strife, for we, the brethren. I'm going to try to go very quickly. I know it's 2:19. But I'm walking in the Holy Ghost and time matters little to me right now. Not going to be that much longer. I'm not going to be that much longer. Amen. But I have got to finish the burden that I have. Amen. What is it that might be blocking your vision? Verse 8 says this, there be no strife. Philippians 2:1-5 says this, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Everybody say like-minded. Having the same love. Everybody say same love. Being of one accord. Of one mind. Verse 3 says this, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in all in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Very quickly, 4 and 5 says this, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You don't have the same mind. If you are not like-minded with Christ and with your man of God, then you need to get up and move till you're closer to your man of God. If you don't have that vision, if you don't have the same sight that he's got, the same heartbeat, then you need to get up until you are like-minded. Amen. Verse 3 says, let nothing be done through strife. Verse 8 said this in our scripture text, be no strife, for we be brethren. Psalms 133:1 says this. Right, in this. All right. Did you not find it for me? Get me Psalms 133:1. It's not on my paper. Quickly, Psalms 133:1. Read it for me. Behold, how good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Verse 8 says, let there be no strife. Now this is God talking to him. Abraham said to him, because God's given him a mandate and a direction. He said, let there be no strife, for we be brethren. 133:1 says this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. Verse 14 says this. I'm trying to go very quickly now. Verse 14 simply says this. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes Amen. After Lot was separated. Sometimes God has to separate you from some things and from someone so He can show you what He has for you and what His will is for you. Sometimes God has to get you away from some things. Tyler, before you ever see what God has for you, God will have to get you away from some things. And you start walking in the Spirit, walking in line with the pulpit, son, before God can give you what He has for you and for Sister Kimberly. God wants something for you. Zachary, Brooke, I'm not telling you to walk away from your family. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying in the Holy Ghost and in the Spirit, you have to separate yourself from some things. You got to separate yourself from the world. You may have to separate yourself from some people and someone. I'm not just talking to our new converts. I'm talking to every saint in here. On the job, there are people that have a negative influence on you. Old friends. New friends. People on your workplace. Amen. Sometimes you have to separate yourself from some people and sometimes some things. There are some things that get more attention than is safe. Amen. If you caught up in Facebook, get your nose out of Facebook and get your face in the book. How about that? I don't know where that one came from. Get your face in the book. Amen. There are some things that are not safe and you need to separate yourself from them. Because it was not until Abram said to him, hey, buddy, we got to stop our fighting. We got to get along here together. We're brethren. And then he separated himself from him. And then the voice of the Lord spoke to him. Amen. Here we go. Luke 19, 1 through 6 says this. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Why did he keep saying little of stature? It must have bothered Zacchaeus. It must have worried him. Physical conditions sometimes. Physical conditions. Your look. Who you are. Your name. There are certain things about you. There are some things about you. Your past. Past failures. Past whatever. That will cause you to hide among the crowd. Because you do not. And God's saying, if you can't see me from where you're at, then you need to get a little higher. If you can't see very far from where you're sitting, then you need to move. And something began to turn over in the inside of Zacchaeus. And the Bible said he was a little man, a man of little stature. Here we go. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was of little stature. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up. Everybody say up. Into a sycamore tree to see him. Everybody say to see. To get a better vision. To be able to see. To be able to have a clear vision where nothing was in his way. He had to do, he had to push, he had to press. I press towards the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The woman with the issue of blood pressed through the crowd. She had to get down on her face, on her hands and knees. She had to crawl, push, and press her way through till she could see him, till she could touch him. Before she ever touched him, she had to see him. Because she had to see him to know where he was. And so she had to do whatever she had to do to get a clear vision of him. Zacchaeus, he had to climb, he had to dig, he had to crawl, he had to jump. He may have had to say, hey buddy, help me over here. Give me a hand over here. Would you help me get up higher? Sometimes you got to lean on a brother. You have to tell him, help me pray, would you? Help me get a little higher. Help me make my way through the press. Help me fight my way. Don't let me stand by myself. But whatever it is, help me get a better vision. If you can't see from where you are sitting, then you may need to climb, push, and press your way through. And Zacchaeus climbed until he had a clear vision. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in thy house. Verse 6 says, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can I give you this right here? Zacchaeus knew he was little, but it no longer mattered. He knew he was young. It no longer mattered. He knew he had a past. It no longer mattered. He knew what his name was. It no longer mattered. I'm preaching to you. Because the Bible said, now the Lord had talked directly to him. Why did he talk to him? He had to get a clear vision. See the connection? Before Abraham ever talked to God, he had to get separated of some things, get out of some things. Before he could ever see God, Zacchaeus had to push his way through the crowd. And once he did, the Lord spoke to him when his vision became clear. Now here's this. We are to a place as young people, as new converts, as saints, as backsliders, as people that have been here a long time that have to pray through and fail, that's every one of us. People that have to repent, that's every man, jack, one of us. And the Bible says Zacchaeus knew who he was, but now he received him joyfully. He received him with gladness. Amen. I want some of you, amen, whatever hinders you, whatever's holding you back, whatever's stopping you, push your way through to the front. Become the greatest soul winner. Become the greatest prayer warrior. If you can't see, move till you get closer, because there God will talk to you. God will tell you what He has for you. He will show you what He has for you. And when He does, I want you to receive Him joyfully. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Caleb, Brother Tony, tell him to come in. I still got a few minutes left. Amen. I still got a few minutes left. Bring him in. Just a little bit more. Just can I have just a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 41. Amen. Will you, brethren, read it for me? He said to him, get up. He said to him, hey, old boy, get up. Everybody say, get up. He said, because I hear the sound of an, not just of rain. All you got to hear, you got to see what I'm seeing. Not just of rain, but an abundance of rain. Not just life, but life more abundantly. Not just revival, but revival, abundant revival. Life and revival more abundantly. Oh. Amen. Verse 42 says what? Notice he keeps saying, then he went up. He said, get thee up. Then he said, Ahab went up. And then Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He didn't have a clear view where he was at. They couldn't see from where they were sitting. They had to go up. They had to keep climbing up. Don't get distracted on me. Don't get distracted because the kids are coming in. Amen. They're just babies. You know them. You're taking them home with you. So don't get distracted. Listen to me now. Don't miss what God's trying to tell us. All right, read. When he got up, that's when he got down on his face. He went up to go down on his face. He kept climbing higher, and when he got there, he fell on his face, put his face between his knees, and then he said to his servant, what? Go up now. Look toward the sea. There is nothing. Go seven times. All right, stop. Man of God told him over and over, go up again. I've been. He said, keep looking. I am looking. He said, we're going to have revival. I don't see it yet. We're going to have it again. Well, okay, I believe, but I don't see it yet. And so the man of God, here, watch this. The man of God seen it first. The man of God seen it first. The man of God seen the crowd first. That's why he kept telling him, you better go look again, old boy. That's like your daddy telling you, son, I know the tool's there. I put it there. I know it's there. Go look. Daddy, I don't see it. Go look again. Daddy, I don't see it. Go look again, boy. Open up your eyes. And when you go and you look, I open up your eyes, guess what you find? You find it right where Dad said it was. Brother Gooden, the man of God, saw it first. Amen. And he told him, go up again. And so he went up 7 times. And after the 7th time, he said what? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I think I see what you're talking about, preacher. You see, the preacher keeps on preaching it. Wednesday, Sunday, revival, revival, revival. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Sunday, Sunday. He keeps pushing it. Because you know what he's telling you? He's telling you, come on, church, let's go up again and look. Come on, church, let's go up again and look. I can see revival, but I got to get you to see it. I can see it happening, but I got to convince you it's there. I got to convince you to go up again. I got to convince you to climb a little higher. If you can't see a cloud from where you're sitting, then get up higher. If you can't see a cloud in the distance, if it don't look like revival, if it don't look like rain, then you need to go up again and take another look until you can see revival from where you are sitting. Continue reading. That the rain stop thee not. He's talking about that abundance rain. He's talking about the abundance rain that the man of God seen long before. And he kept telling him to go up, go up, go up. And finally he sees it. Then he said, hey, now you go and tell them about a revival that's fixing to take place. You go and tell them about a rain that's fixing to happen. About a famine that's fixing to be broken. About a drought that's fixing to stop. Oh, you're not feeling what I'm feeling. He's telling them right here, now you, the people, go and tell them we're having revival and it's fixing to rain. God's fixing to break the famine, break the drought. Miracles are fixing to happen. I'm fixing to pour it out. And he said to them, now you go and tell them. You go and tell them. You go and tell them. Amen. Verse 46 said, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. The man of God outran him. The man of God, that's about what I feel like. If my voice had led me. Amen. He ran. Amen. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. I'm excited about revival. Why? Because I can see it happening. Because I can see revival happening from where I'm sitting. From where I'm sitting. I'm getting up and moving on up to revival. Because there is a rain coming. There is a drought that's fixing to be broken. Amen. A revival of souls. An abundance rain of revival. Amen. Abundance rain of souls. Amen. How far can you see from where you are sitting? Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 6, 16 and 17, you're going to find the Bible says, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with him. In verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Everybody say, open his eyes that he may see. Hey. He said, we're surrounded on every side. Oh, we're about to die. There is no way out for us. It's over. There is no revival. And the man of God said, Lord, open up his eyes that he may see. Verse 17 said, and the Lord opened up the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What do you see, man of God? I see revival. What do you see, man of God? There's more for us than there are against us. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now. I pray, God, open up your eyes that you might see. Amen. If you cannot see from where you are sitting, then get up and move till you can see revival. If you cannot see nothing but opposition, get up and move till you can see that there are more for us than there are against us. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now as our musicians come. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost so strong. Come on, there is no telling what God can do. God, open their eyes. Let them see what I'm seeing, God. Let them see revival. How far can you see from where you're sitting? How far can you see from where you're sitting? How far can you see from where you're sitting? Amen. I pray before you leave, if something's blocking your vision, that you get above it, that you get beyond it. Numbers 13 and 33. Very quickly, Numbers 13 and 33. And there we saw. There we saw the giants. Oh, they couldn't see very far from where they were sitting. They couldn't see revival from where they were sitting. They couldn't see financial blessings from where they were sitting. They couldn't see miracles. Oh, they couldn't see. They couldn't see what Joshua and Caleb were seeing. All they could see was we are as grasshoppers. And all we can see are the giants opposing revival. The oppositions coming against revival. It's never happened before. Why do you think it'll happen now in 2014? Because I see it. You can't convince me otherwise. Because God's going to give it to us because I see it. It's right there. It's right there for the taking. It's right there if we'll just go get it. Numbers 13 and 33 said this. Amen. As I bring it to a close. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight, vision, as grasshoppers. In our own sight, in our own vision, we were as grasshoppers. So all we could see was, that's pretty low, and all you have a view of is grasshoppers. You can't see very far if you're so down on the bottom that all you see are grasshoppers. And all you see are giants of opposition above you. You don't know the God I serve. You can't see what I'm seeing. Oh, if I could just convince you. If I can convince you that that cloud means revival. That the sound of abundant rain means revival. If I can just convince you to go look again. To see what I'm seeing. What's that song say? Do you see what I see? Yes, I see what you see. I wish to God before you left here, every young person could see you, not as a grasshopper, but if you could see you like I see you, successful, a pastor's wife, a preacher's wife, an evangelist's wife, a prayer warrior, a soul winner, a Sunday school teacher, a Bible study teacher. That's what I see. That's what I see. That's what I see. That's what I see. A faithful wife and a good mother. That's what I see. I don't see grasshoppers. I don't see babies. But I see winners. I see giant killers. I see revival like we've never seen before. I see growth like we've never had before. When I look at our young men, I not only see good dads and then good husbands, but I see good fathers and yes, and good men in the church, and I see preachers and I see pastors and evangelists, and I even see missionaries, and I see men used of God teaching Bible studies and prayer warriors in the right hand of the preacher. I see armor bearers. I see men with a ministering spirit and a ministry of helps and a willingness to work, a willingness to pray, a mind to work, because the people had a mind to work. It all came together in record time. Can I tell you, it does not take God forever if we can just get ourselves together and start looking for revival. Start seeing revival. Get the vision of the pastor. It can come a reality. Our vision can become a reality. How far can you see from where you are sitting? You cannot look at yourself as grasshoppers. Preachers, you cannot look at yourself as mere grasshoppers. Don't fall into the trap that I did. 45 years old and still working for somebody else. Still assisting. When I knew in my spirit, I knew what I could do. I just didn't see it yet. It was just a dream, but now it's a reality. It was just a vision, but now it is a reality. And it came to pass. Don't ever give up on your dream. Don't ever give up on your promise. Don't ever give up on your vision. Dream bigger. Dream bigger. Dream bigger. And if you cannot see from where you are sitting, move to a higher place till the vision is clear. In closing tonight, the book of Matthew chapter 14, I'm not going to read it, my brother, 22 through 32. I'm not going to read it for sake of time because I want to bring it to a close. We find her in the boat. We find it between miracles. We find it at the time when the 5 loaves and 2 fish and the miracles took place. And he told them to go get in a boat, and here they are on the way from miracle to miracle. Here they are in the will of God. Here they are on a journey. Here they are sent by God. Here they are. All of a sudden a storm hits them. My God, where are you, Lord? I'm wrecked by storms. My health, my body, my hurt, my finances, my marriage, my life, my career, my future, my dreams, my visions. It seems I'm in a quagmire. It seems I'm in the waves that toss to and fro. My life seems nothing is sure, nothing is certain, nothing is secure. The only thing solid is the rock, Christ Jesus. I will tell you there. And if your life seems uncertain, crawl back on the rock. If your life seems uncertain and you're not sure, fall on the rock, Christ Jesus. Fall on an altar. If you cannot see where you are sitting, then move close enough that you have a clear vision of God, of revival. But here we find they are tossed by a storm. And from that very storm comes a voice. And they look, and they're not certain. I pray to God that somebody today in a storm, in a situation, every single, every teen, every mom, every dad, every young person, listen to me right now. Church, Landmark, every marriage, every job, your finances, take heed and listen to what I'm telling you. I know that you are facing a storm. And I know you are not certain and you are not sure. And I know your health may be bad. But he said, Lord, if that be you, bid me come. Can I tell you in the Holy Ghost that the Lord is talking to you this afternoon? And the Lord is telling you to come closer. The Lord is telling you to come closer. The Lord is telling you to come up higher. The Lord is telling you to come into revival to where I would have you to be. And Peter got out of the boat, and things were good for a while because he had his eye on the Lord. But when all of a sudden he began to take notice of the waves and the storm around him, the Bible said he began to sink. He saw himself sinking because he saw the waves. When he saw the storm, he saw himself going down. His vision got clouded. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. His vision got blurred by the rain and the wind and the waves. And there it was that the Lord reached out a hand and picked him up. Can I tell you in the Holy Ghost that the Lord is reaching a hand out to somebody this afternoon? He's got his hand extended to you. And he's telling you, come back on up to the promise and quit looking at the problem. Keep your eyes on me. If you cannot see God from where you are, Peter had to climb higher. Peter had to get up out of where he was at till he once again had a clear vision. If you cannot see from where you are sitting, get up and move. Get up and move again till you have a clear vision. In closing today, I go back to our scripture text. I read in Genesis. I jumped down to verse 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, he told him, now that you're separated, he said, lift up your eyes. And he said, look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. He said, there is no end to what you can have. If you can see it, I can give it to you. Anything is possible if you will but believe. And he said, if you will look, he had to get to where he had a clear vision. He couldn't see where he was at, so he had to get away from some things till he had a clear vision. And the Lord said, if you'll just lift up your eyes and look. Verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. To every soul that you see, I'll give it to you. Every family that's in need, I'll give it to you. If you can see it, you can claim it in Jesus' name. He said, I'll give it to you if you'll just get to where you have a clear vision. Verse 17 is where I want to get down to. And he said to him, arise. 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 He said, arise. He had to get up. He had to get up. He had to get up. And then he said these words, walk through the land. He didn't tell him to stop there. He didn't say walk there and stop. But he said walk through. He said, get up from where you are, boy, and walk through. God's got something for some of you on the other side of revival, but you got to get up and walk through it. God's got things for you that you cannot even imagine. He said, if you can see it, if you can just picture it, if you can view it, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you can but just have faith. Remember vision when it looks up, it is faith. If you can get your vision and look upward, arise and walk through the land. He said, I'll give you revival. Verse 18, it said, then Abram removed his tent. Everybody say, he got up and moved. And came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. He built there an altar unto the Lord. You need to make you an altar. You need to see yourself in revival. You need to see our church in revival. If you cannot see revival from where you are sitting, get up and move. Arise, Landmark. He's extending his hand. Amen. He's extending revival, and he's saying, get up from where you are. Arise and let's walk into the land. From the breadth of it to the width of it, I'll give it to you. But let's walk through revival. The Bible says, there he built an altar unto the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost has spoken to you this afternoon. As a family, as an individual, as a man, and as a church, God has spoke to you this afternoon. God has talked to you. Then I want you to get up from where you are. And in the Holy Ghost, start walking forward. In the Spirit, start seeing yourself walking into revival. In the Holy Ghost, get up from where you are if you cannot see very far. And get to where you see revival. Why don't you find a place and pray?